wonders are new.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
This is Pastor Jonathan McLean.
I'm so glad that you are joining us today for our church program. I have with me today in the studio my wife, Rachel. Welcome.
Thank you. Hello, everyone.
Honey, there's been a lot of change over the last few years at Abundant Life. In fact, we're in the process of developing our property, and we are making progress, aren't we?
Yes, we are. We're slow, but we're steady, and we're sure.
Slow, steady, sure. Right. And last Saturday, we had a great crowd of our guys and ladies came out and brought a bunch of food out. The guys were working hard, making a lot of progress with the sheet piling, which is a part of the protection of the preservation areas. And we look forward to meeting some of you that may not have yet found a church home. If you're searching for a church home, we'd love to have you join us. Honey, why don't you give the new location where we are here in Palm City while we're building on Willoughby and Stuart?
We are meeting at the Palm City Civic Organization. That's located at 770 Southwest 34th Street, right here in Palm City. We are meeting on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. and on Wednesday evenings at 7 for a Bible study. We'd love to have you join us.
Thank you, Rachel. It's great to have you in the studio with us today. And now, would you join us, please, as we go into a service that is currently in progress? I trust the Word of God is a blessing to you today as we look into Genesis chapter 18.
And in this passage of Scripture, we find that God is going to speak to a very elderly couple. We know they're elderly because they're in their 90s and pushing 100. And so, you know, that doesn't mean God's finished with you yet just because you're, you know, in your 90s. But we look at this sometimes and we tend to just go, you know, that's a great story. I believe it happened, but, you know, God's probably not going to work that way ever again. But I wanted you to just look at this passage with me for a few minutes this morning. So it starts out in that chapter where the Lord appeared to Abraham, and their camp tells us where he's camped. It's about noon, and Abraham's sitting at the entrance to his tent. Three men show up, and welcoming them, bowing low to the ground. Verse 3, "My Lord," he said, "if it pleases you, stop here for a while." And he offers to prepare a meal for them. And so, rest in the shade of this tree while my servants get some water to wash your feet. Let me prepare some food to refresh you. And so, this is what takes place. And so, he encourages them, stay before continuing on with your journey. And so Abraham, he ran to the tent and asked Sarah to help him get the food ready. He didn't consult with her first. Obviously, you know, she was compliant. And I don't know what all was involved in getting a meal together quick when you have to go out and you have to find the animal, and you have to bake the breads and do everything. But that's what she put her hand to. But in the midst of that, there is a word that is shared. As they were eating, Abraham with the three guests, Abraham waited on them beneath the trees. A question is raised, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" they asked. Now, Sarah had been wanting to have a child, probably since she was a young girl, and had never been able to have children. So she now is 90, and she is actually eavesdropping. And none of you ladies have ever done that, but Sarah did. Then one of them said, "About this time next year, I will return, and your wife, Sarah, will have a son." Now, she just cracked up and started laughing. And it tells us that this was sort of an internal thing. Now, Sarah was listening to this conversation from the tent nearby. And now there's going to be some important points that you need to get a hold of, which I've already mentioned, sort of. Since Abraham and Sarah were both very old, and Sarah was long past the age of having children, she laughed silently to herself, but I want you to get what she was thinking. How could a worn-out woman like me have a baby? That's her question. And she didn't say, hey, how can this? No, she didn't do that, but she was thinking it. How many know God knows your thoughts? The devil does not know your thoughts. God knows your thoughts. Until you open your mouth and speak it, the devil doesn't know. He's guessing, but God does know your thoughts. How could a worn-out woman like me have a baby, she thought. And when my master, listen to what she has to say about her husband. She's thinking about him too. She's not just saying, hey, I'm long past the age when this can happen. But she has this opinion of her husband, and I know my wife knows a whole lot more about me than I probably even do. You ladies know she knew her husband pretty well, and she said, when my master, my husband, is also so old. She was being nice, but she was actually saying he's a dried up prune. He's got 10 years on me. There is absolutely no possibility that my husband is able to perform and produce a child. It is impossible. And so this, she laughs. She just laughs because it hit her that kind of a way. And then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Why did she say, can an old woman like me have a baby? And then this is a line that's really important in this passage too. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? So I just received those notes. I'd want to be amplified. I'd read that. And earlier I had been through this passage and I jotted some notes down about this. Is anything too hard for the Lord? About a year from now, just as I told you, I will return and Sarah will have a child. Well, that's what happened. Sarah had a child. And it was the child of promise. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but if you look in chapter 25, this is 18. If you look in chapter 25, there is some interesting additional information. 25 verse 1. Now Abraham married again. Now he didn't marry until Sarah died. Sarah's died and she lived a long life and was able to see her son grow up as a young man. She died first, and now Abraham, a number of years have passed, and Abraham married again. Now his wife's thinking he's a dried up prune. There's no chance there's any life left in him. But the scriptures say he married again. Keturah was his new wife. And look at verse 2. She bore him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua. I guess he wasn't quite as old and dried up as she thought he was. Not only did she have a child, but after she died, he went on to have several more children. What is it, 5 or 6 more children here that we see in the scriptures? And so I was looking at that, and I was thinking that being worn out doesn't necessarily have to have anything to do with age. And it was great that I got to work yesterday a little more than normal, because it reminded me of what being worn out feels like. And but you know, I have to tell you, when I was 13, I remember working at the flower farm and going in at 6:30 in the morning. And I remember what it was to be about 1 o'clock in the afternoon and just have a thought, I don't know if I'm going to live through the rest of this day. And by the time we were finished with work, literally felt as though I was going to collapse in a pile. So you don't have to be 90 years old or 100 years old to feel as though you're totally worn out. In fact, as I thought about this and I thought of what the enemy intends to do and works very hard to do, is to cause all of us to struggle with enough issues in life and to let them build up on us until, you know, a lot of times people end up with things like depression. And so literally, we could say their mind has been overloaded. They're not able to deal with the stress. Some of you may have felt that way before. I felt that way before. For you just feel like everything is coming apart. The smallest little thing will set you off. And it's so easy to maybe lose focus on really important things because you're just worn out, totally worn out. You might be worn down. And then physically, when you go through things with your health, that can totally wear you down. And I've had over the years a number of people ask me, Pastor, would you please pray that God would just take me home? Because I just don't have anything to live for anymore. And many times people feel that way. I believe Sarah was kind of at that place. I've longed for a child for so many years. I've desired a child for so many years. And now it's too late. It's too late for some of those really important dreams in my life to ever come to pass. But the question is anything too hard for God? Sometimes relationships can put a lot of pressure on it. And since none of us perform really perfectly all the time, that means when we pray the Lord's Prayer, disciples pray, you know how that is, forgive us our, what, sin, that trespasses. I guess maybe somebody thought trespasses sound nicer than sins, but it really is sins. It means breaking the law. Forgive us our law-breaking, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And so Jesus knew that probably every day, in some way, all of us are candidates to be sinned against. But the other side of that is, all of us are not so perfect that we could not actually sin against someone else. And we might need to forgive others on a regular basis. And so forgiveness is very important. But Sarah is at this place in her life where she was just totally worn out. Well, I'll tell you, last night I was worn out. In fact, Rachel called and she said, how you doing? I said, I'm totally worn out. Totally worn out. And she said, you want me to get you something, you know? And she gave me some options, you know, things I could drink or whatever. And I just said, no, that's the stubbornness in me, you know. But really was just worn out. And so I was thinking about this passage and realizing that all of us have to deal with some of that worn out aspect of our life. How are we going to deal with that? How does God want us to deal with that? Well, one of the ways that God wants us to deal with it is by setting aside times in our life where we fast and we pray with a specific focus on pursuing God. I want you to go with me to Isaiah. We're going to go to the book of Isaiah, and I'll tell you where to go here in a minute. How about going to Isaiah 55? That's a pretty good place to start. Isaiah 55. So I'm going to read a few scriptures. I want you to follow along. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, but I'm reading from Isaiah chapter 55. I'm going to start with verse 1. And I want to just highlight some key words before I start reading. The first, there's a question, is anyone thirsty? Now, that question is actually asking, is anyone dry? Now, my son's always reminded me when we're working hard and sweating, Dad, if you're thirsty, it's too late. You already have gone too long without drinking, right? So this question, is anyone thirsty? It's not specifically speaking of a physical thirst. It really is looking at the whole big picture of our life. And it could be the relationships. It could be finances. It could be It could be mental health. It could be physical health. It could be many things. But is there a desire? Is there an unmet need? Is there a challenging season in your life where you are on overload and actually just dry? Are you just dry? And so that question, is anyone thirsty, starts this chapter out. But then there's an invitation that comes along with it. And the invitation is, if anyone is thirsty, if anyone is hungry for more or thirsty for more, then come. And I want you to look for the word come as I'm reading through some of these verses. There's another word that's going to pop out, and it's seek. So as you're coming and pursuing God, we know that the scriptures in the New Testament says that we are to ask, we are to seek, and we are to knock, ask, knock, seek. And then it says, to him who asketh, you're going to receive. To the ones who seek, you're going to find. To the one who knocks, there's going to be an answer. So what God is saying is, I will respond to you if you seek me. If you knock, you go, well, how do I knock on heaven? Well, by prayer. And so by pursuing God, God wants us to seek his counsel and to seek his personal influence in our life. And so in this chapter, we're going to see that. And we're also going to see some very familiar words that have to do with the value of reading the Word of God. Starting this year out, I would encourage all of you to have a Bible reading plan where at the end of this year, you will have read through the entirety of the Word of God. I was talking with a pastor and a conversation came up. We were talking about the Word of God. And in that conversation, I was reminded of another pastor, friend of mine, who has been reading through the Bible in 60 days for the last, I believe, 3 years. Every 60 days reads through the Word of God. And he's not speed reading, but he's just reading, and he studies in addition to that. That does not include his study time. That is his reading time, because he said, God is talking to me when I'm reading the Word of God. And so prayer is not just talking to God. Prayer is also letting God talk to you. And so if you say this morning, well, I don't hear God talk to me, then reading the Word of God is an absolute means by which God talks to us. And whether you're a Baptist or a Methodist or a Presbyterian or a Catholic or whoever you are, if you love God and you're seeking God and you're reading His Word, God will speak to you out of His Word. And that is part of prayer. Wednesday nights we're talking about prayer. So that's something else we're going to see here, the importance, the significance of the Word of God. Now, I am still using, this is, I think, number 3, Daily Walk Bible. You can't find this, might find one used. The last one I was searching for, I found one for $50-some. Originally, I had people wanting to give them to me. But there's many other, this is just called the Daily Walk Bible, and it has 365 devotional helps to guide you through the Bible in 1 year. So this is not all of my devotions, but it's part of my devotion. You say, well, how many times have you been through the whole Bible? I don't know. It's got to be 40-some times. I don't know. Read through it every year, studied in college and school and, you know, so many things. But the Bible is alive. This is alive. The Word of God is alive. And it talks to you. God talks to you. It's not just these words on these pages that's talking. It's the Spirit of God that speaks to us. So let me get into reading. Is anyone thirsty? Come, come. That's the invitation. Come and drink. Come take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. Aren't you glad you don't have to have money to get into the kingdom of God? It's all free. Why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Keep in mind, the opening question is anyone thirsty? Is anyone unfulfilled? Is anyone looking for more? And I know that some of you are, and this is the way to get there. Hang on. Why pay for food that does you no good? In other words, don't be a junk food junkie. Speaking of spiritual food, of course. Listen. I will tell you where to get food that is good for your soul. Good for your soul. Come to me. Here it is again. Second come. Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen, for the life of your soul is at stake. It's important who we listen to, what we listen to, how much we listen to it. And I have some family and some friends, and I wonder how they became individuals who are so far away from God at this point in their life. And they don't seem to understand what's going on. And I know that it's easy to get busy, busy, busy with life and living and doing things and to forget that we have a soul. We're actually spiritual beings. We're going to live forever. And so many people are focused on doing a lot of things, but they're not taking into consideration the importance of their soul health. So this is talking about making preparation to live with God here on earth and also to spend forever with Him. For the life of your soul is at stake. In other words, listen to what God has to say because it's really important. I'm ready to make an everlasting covenant with you, God says. I will give you all the mercies and unfailing love that I promised to David. This contextually was being given to Israel. He displayed my power by being my witness, a leader among the nations. You also will command the nation. They will come running to obey because I, the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, have made you glorious. Now, here we are to the first seek. Verse 6. Seek the Lord when? while you can find him. Seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him while he is near. And let the people turn from their wicked deeds. Let them banish from their minds the very thought of doing wrong. Now that's really an important scripture. It's in the Old Testament, but it is echoed in the New Testament, because in the New Testament it says today is the day of salvation. And when you read that, you might think, well, does that mean no one could be saved tomorrow? No, that's not what it means. It means you may not, or I may not, be alive tomorrow to have an opportunity tomorrow to be saved. So today is my day that I need to receive the word of the Lord while the Lord is near me and he's speaking into my life. And so seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him while he is near. Let the people turn from their wicked deeds. And we often quote from 2 Chronicles 7:14, right? If my people, this is what God said. He speaks to his people. If my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. God is always looking at his people. And he's saying to his people, you need to clean it up. You need to live a clean life. Jesus cleaned the temple. We've been talking about that on Wednesday nights. He went to the temple, cleaned the temple, and declared it to be a house of prayer. And then there were miracles, and there was worship that was released in the temple. Our lives are the temple. So as we are open before God, saying, this should be our attitude every day, that we say, God, anything in this house, this is your house, this is your dwelling place, anything here that you want to change, you're in charge. You're in charge. Turn from their wicked deeds. Let them banish from their minds the very thought of doing wrong. Turn to God. Yes, turn to God, and he will abundantly pardon. Now verse 8 kind of shifts a little bit, and it's going to begin to deal with the importance and the value of God's word and that truth being mixed into our daily lifestyle. My thoughts are completely, what? Different from yours. It doesn't mean we can't come into agreement and have the thoughts of God. It just means that by nature, thank God for being born again, because we have the Holy Spirit that can give us revelation and understanding, right? But from the old, let's just say the old life, or the old man, or the pre-born-again person, our thoughts at that point are definitely not God's thoughts a lot of the time. And so God is saying that. He's talking about his thoughts versus our thoughts, his ways versus our ways. And this passage, I believe, also is going to address the fact that we are not always going to understand what's going on in our life and what God is doing in our life. You may have some questions this morning about some things in your life or your family or some of these areas that we've already talked about. My thoughts are completely different from yours, said the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could even imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Now we come to the part about the Word of God. So God's truth is always the same. It doesn't change. That's an awesome thing about that. We don't get an additional chapter in the Bible that says, oops, I didn't get that right the first time, I'm rewriting that. We have to do that. We have to apologize. We have to take care of things, but that's not the case with God. So it tells us the rain and snow come down from the heavens, stay on the ground to water the earth. We know this. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer, bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. I send it out. And then God says something about his word. It always produces fruit. It never returns void. It never is without a harvest. You cannot read the word of God without receiving ministry, instruction, health, spiritual health, and wisdom. You cannot do that. If you read the word of God and you say, God, give me understanding, God is going to speak and going to minister to you. And I have some that will say, well, I'm not a reader. I can't really read. I don't really understand. And now we have phones, right? Any of you have phones? And our phones, you just go to a Bible app and hit the button. It starts playing it. You may say, but I can't retain it. I can't remember it. I can't. That's not your job to try to remember it all. The Word says the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance. Remembrance. How do you know something? How do you remember something if it was never put in there? And so by reading the Word of God, I'm going to ask a question. This is a test. It's a short test. It's going to happen really fast. How many of you have been in a situation where you know the Holy Spirit brought to your remembrance a scripture or a thought or a direction? I'm going to raise both of my hands. Yeah. So you may say, well, I don't know the chapter and verse. Well, you do know that when this was written, it was written like a letter. It was not written with chapter and verse. You do know the chapter and verse was added so we could find our way through it. And so when the enemy says, well, you don't really know the Word of God very well because maybe you can quote part of the verse and you may say, well, I know John 3:16 and I know a few other verses, but I don't really know the Bible really well because I don't know where all these things are found, but I have a lot of biblical knowledge. Well, just understand that when it was written, it wasn't written with those chapters and verses. And so God is the one that brings it back to our memory, brings the Word to our memory. And this is what the Scripture is saying. Your ways are not my ways. So how do we understand God's ways? By planting the Word of God as seed inside of our life. Very important in our life. So God says, my thoughts, my ways, they are higher. And the rain, snow, every time they come down, they're going to have an impact on the seeds that's in the ground. It's going to grow. My word is like that, God said. It is a biblical law. You understand laws of gravity, not man's laws. Man has laws too. But laws of gravity, there are laws of nature that we don't have to choose to obey or disobey. I mean, they're just going to work. That's how we can send spacecraft into space, because there are laws that God has established. God is saying here, my law is that my word is more powerful than your doubts. My word is more powerful than your fear. My word is more powerful than your lack of understanding. My word is more powerful than that strong desire that's unfulfilled in your life and those needs that are in your life. My word is able to awaken in you knowledge and understanding that will enlighten and give direction to your path. In fact, the word says, the steps of the righteous are led of the Lord.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
We will work with each other, we will work side by side, we will